So, Jim, my question is Zippity Doodah one of them?
Yes, actually.
Really? I'm not sure they're going to want to do this after that, but we are excited to be receiving new members who may now decide not to join our church. We do have some new members to receive today. We welcome Perry Baker, Courtney White, and Veronica and Deva Eimel, if they will come forward. This is where I get to turn around and they get to see you. Yeah. They've seen me plenty. Great. We are so excited to be welcoming you and look forward to joining together in all that church is and means together with you. Let us pray. God of love and mercy, we thank you that you bind us together as we give you our worship and praise. And we thank you for these who have come to be part of our church family. May the warmth and love we offer to them reflect the warmth and love you give to us all. Together, bless us in your grace, strengthen us in our faith, and lead us in our calling to serve you and others. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. You're official. Let me remind you that the Easter Lily deadline is tomorrow. If you have not done that yet, there are forms available in the Narthex, and we hope you'll turn those in. Also, for the last few months, you have noticed Tia Holtzclaw up here, who has been sign language interpreting in our experiment over the past few months to try to see if this was something we could offer to the community and how much need there might be for this. Turns out, so far, we've not had a whole lot of need for it. So today is actually Tia's last Sunday with us. But we wanted to say thank you and how much we appreciate all that you have done. I've heard so many tell me that they get so much more out of the sermon with you doing your thing. Sure. Sarah, if I call on you, are you going to sing a Disney song?
No.
Okay. Are you going to put on sunglasses?
No.
Okay.
Expressions on Palm Sunday at 5:30 p.m. We
Sounds like an excellent day.
Will be. Yes. All right.
Good. Please, now, can we prepare for worship? Let's do that. Rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who brings us out of captivity into freedom, out of the wilderness into the promised land, out of death into life.
Amen.
Let us come home to God confessing our sin. Merciful Father, we have sinned against heaven and before you.
We do not fully live as your sons and daughters. We use your gifts to our own ends. Forgive us and restore us, that we may resist all that draws us away from you,
and be at peace with one another.
Amen.
We are reconciled to God through Christ. For his sake, God does not count our trespasses against us. Once dead in sin, we are now alive to God. Once lost, we now are found. God clothes you in the finest robe of all, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, forgiving you all your sins and making of you a new creation. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord to be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace and feed us at the table of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Be seated. Would the children please come forward? Great. I'm coming, Annalise. Hang on. Okay, great. Hey, guys. I need your help. I have a jigsaw puzzle to do. Okay. Let's turn all the pictures over, all the pieces over, so we can see them. There's a problem, though. Because y'all didn't see what it looked like before we started, did you? So what do you think it's going to be?
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse? Mickey and Minnie? Y'all think it is? All right, let's see if we can put it together. What you got? You got a corner piece?
Yeah.
That's probably at the bottom. Okay, it goes right there. All right, I put one in. Now, see, that's got a flat edge there. So that's got to go around the outside somewhere. Probably it's got green on it. There you go. All right, keep going. Y'all are working great. Oh, we got another. We got two pieces together. Look at that. Cool. I don't see any Mickey or Minnie on here yet. Yeah, that's right. No, you got to have an edge piece there. Y'all could just go on with the service. We'll be here. You know? All right, now y'all are slowing down here. Let's try there. Nope. Nope, I don't think it goes there. Y'all sure think it's Minnie and Mickey?
Yes.
Are you sure? And Goofy and Pluto too?
Yeah.
And Mickey Mouse?
Yep.
This is taking y'all a lot longer than what I planned for. There you go, you got it. That can't go there. That would no. This has to go here. Look, there you go. Now we're starting to do it. I think it's gonna take forever. Try here. There you go. Wow. Now we're making progress. Nope, see, that's got an edge on it, too. Let's try there. The sad part is I practiced this. It got to be what? Yeah, well, it might take that long. Try right here. The other way. Try this way. Nope, that's not right. Well, we're having some trouble. Let's see. Anybody else got an edge piece? You might be sitting on some pieces. Look. because we're missing some pieces here. It's going to be kind of hard to do a puzzle when you're missing pieces. No? Okay, so we got them all here now. Who's got more? All right, whoop, let's see. There you go. Try there.
I know yeah. Where that piece goes.
You're right. Y'all still think it's Mickey Mouse? Yeah. I don't see Mickey Mouse.
It's right there.
Oh, wait a minute. Look here. Look here. Look here. Look here. What if we did this? Yeah. Now we're really getting there. Ever don't hog pieces? That's what your sister says. Oh, there you go. Try right here. Try right there. Alden's got it. Yes. Okay. Try right there. Excellent. Only two more pieces to go. Excellent. No, three more pieces. Right there. Yeah, sorry. All right, last piece. And who's it a picture of?
Mickey.
It is a picture of Mickey Mouse. And see, look, they did it. Now, the reason I wanted us to do that today is it was kind of hard to do when you didn't know what it looked like before. If you looked at this now and then I took the pictures, the pieces out, it'd be easier to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But we had to look, we had to figure it out without knowing what it was like. And each time we put a piece in, we had to figure out if this was exactly the right place. And I wanted us to talk about that today because in our second lesson today, Paul talks about that God is making a new creation. He's doing something new. And it's like putting a puzzle piece in each time. And we put all the puzzle pieces in exactly the right place and got our picture. And do you know what? God puts the puzzle pieces of our whole world together. And did he get it right?
No.
Yeah, he got it. He got it exactly right. Yes, he did. God has made a wonderful world for us, piece by piece, and it's such a beautiful picture of our entire world. So that's kind of what I wanted us to talk about today and to do. That's Mickey, yeah, and Pluto and Goofy and Donald and Daisy Duck. Yeah, they're all in here. And that's kind of like our world. Everybody's here who's supposed to be here. God has made our world perfect and made us all and put us all in exactly the right place. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for making our world so wonderful and for the creation that you make within us. Thank you for all you are doing and building among us and making us new always. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate produce from the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. And they ate crops of the land of Canaan that year. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh,
A reading from 2 Corinthians. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.'" So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slaves, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound." Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him, but he answered his father, "Listen. For all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him." Then the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I think it's probably safe to say that most of us have never heard of Saint Mary the Harlot. And probably most of us wonder how a harlot ever gets to be a saint. Well, this is her story. Many years ago, a group of holy men went into the desert to pray and to learn to be totally dependent on God. In an age when people didn't do this kind of thing, they collected things, they encountered what they acquired, these men were called the Desert Fathers, and they offered an alternative lifestyle. They began a reform movement in the church, which continues to this day, for they created the very first monastery and the way of life that monks still follow. One of the men who made his home in the wilderness was Abraham. For nearly 50 years, Abraham neither ate bread nor meat. His was a disciplined life, simple and quiet. But one day, his only brother died and left a young daughter named Mary, an orphan. Abraham adopted Mary and housed her in the outer room of his chambers. Through a small window between the two rooms, Abraham taught her the Psalms and other passages of Scripture. And she eagerly prayed and sang with her uncle, and even abstained from eating meat and rich foods like he did. For 20 years, Mary lived with Abraham in full devotion to God. Then one day, a monk, perhaps a monk in name only, came to visit Abraham in search of his great spiritual wisdom. The monk saw Mary and was overcome by desire for her, and he spoke tenderly to her. She had never known the attention of a man and was flattered by his advances. And after many months of quiet conversation, she left her cell and walked alone with him. In the heat of passion, they came together, but when the deed was done, she trembled with guilt. Weighed down with anguish, she felt as if she had shamed her uncle, herself, and God. So silently, without speaking to anyone, she left for another city, taking refuge in a brothel. Abraham was greatly grieved when he discovered that Mary had left. And finally, after 2 years, he discovered where she was and what she did. He sent a friend to go to the brothel and then to return with as much information as possible. When the friend returned, Abraham developed a plan to bring Mary back. He disguised himself as an army officer and went to the inn where she worked. He swaggered into the main room of the inn and bellowed, "I hear you have a fine young wench here. Let me have a look at her." And when they were introduced, Abraham nearly dissolved in grief to see her clothed in a harlot's dress. But disguising his grief, he said in a loud voice, "I've come a long way for the love of Mary." Abraham invited the woman to join him for a huge meal. Though his stomach hadn't tasted meat and most of the other foods for nearly 50 years, he ate and drank with gusto. When the meal was over, the girl invited him to come up to her room and to lie with her. Once upstairs, Mary knelt to untie his shoes. Speaking softly, the old monk said, "I've come a long way for the love of Mary." And immediately she recognized her uncle. At first, she resisted his invitation to return to their home. "I can't even look at you," she cried. "I'm so full of shame." And then Abraham told his beloved niece the story of Christ forgiving and freeing an unclean woman, and the story of the woman washing his feet with her tears and drying them with her hair. He told her other powerful stories, and through them, Mary remembered the great redeeming love of the Savior. But of even more importance to her was the action of her uncle. She realized the sacrifices he had made to break his vow. She knew how much he loved her, and through that love, she could imagine God's love for her. She returned to the desert that day to resume her life of prayer and meditation. She provided inspiration, counsel, and understanding to all who visited her. There were no sins she could not understand. After her death, she became known as Saint Mary the Harlot. The harlot brought back through her uncle's love.
I think that's the same kind of love that Jesus was describing when he told the parable of the prodigal son. Now, I have to tell you, in recent years, I've heard of a movement to rename this parable. It's been suggested that we should call this story the parable of the prodigal father. You see, the point of the story is this father and his prodigal, or wastefully extravagant, love for both of his rather nasty boys, and how that's what God's love is like for us. Indeed, there's nothing more prodigal. There is nothing more loving. There is nothing more recklessly extravagant than a God who gives himself, than a God who dies to save his people. Oh, people of God, know this. God has gone a long, long way for the love of you. Amen.
Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. for us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, by the carnal of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead
and the life of the world to come. Amen.
With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Lord Jesus, we thank you for being our friend. Oh, how often we need to cling to you, to draw strength and support and help and hope from you. Thank you for being there for us always. Thank you for your love. Thank you for being a friend we can count on in times of joy and in times of need. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, you are the friend of sinners. What an incredible gift that is. We are sorry for the ways we have damaged our relationship with you, the hurt that we have caused others, the hurt we have caused you. Forgive us. Renew us. Welcome us home in your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Savior, in those times when we need you the most, we know you are there. Be with all those who are sick, those in sorrow, those alone or afraid, those in danger, those who are hungry, the oppressed and the forgotten. Bless all your people, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, living God, lead us now to look and act beyond these walls. Help us to live as you lived, offering ourselves sacrificially for others and for their good. As you reach your love to us, may we reach in that love to others. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let's share God's peace.
Thank you. us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us and these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Our living water and our merciful guide, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and joined us in our desert, pouring out your life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thank you. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. O God, we thank you for gathering and feeding us as a mother hen embraces her young. Release us now to go on our way in these 40 days, ready to see our work as prayer, ready to fast from complacency, and ready to share with those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you. I'll take this because I've got enough.
Oh, you take these? Oh, oh, me. Oh, oh, okay, okay. Well, I'll get this.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I would like to call this special congregational meeting to order, and I would like to ask Pastor Gary if he would lead us in a word of prayer. The Lord be with you. God of grace and love, we thank you that you have called us into a family of faith, a family that shares warmth and love, a family that now can gather to celebrate the generosity that you have inspired in us. Give us your wisdom and your guidance. Lead us now as your people, called to serve you and others in all that we do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Let me start off by saying that actually we have a very nice problem on our hands. And I want to tell you that I'm just astonished at the generosity of this congregation. These renovations were completed shortly before Easter last year. We completed the renovations. Everything on the wish list had been completed and then some. And still, those of you who made pledges continued to honor your pledges, and the money just kept coming in. I just cannot, it's difficult for me to believe the generosity of this congregation. And now we are faced with what I said before, a very nice problem. We have approximately $56,000 left over from the Sanctuary Renovation Fund. And the purpose of this meeting is to decide what we're going to do with it. Now, the Finance Committee and the Church Council came up with a list of recommended projects, realizing that there are still other needs in the congregation. But these recommended projects would finish up the $56,000, put it to good use, and but still, like I mentioned before, there's still other things such as was mentioned in this letter, the paving, the parking lot is getting to be in bad shape. There's some other things, but we thought that this $56,000 might be well spent with the projects on the piece of paper we handed out earlier today. So I suppose there is a, since Church Council recommended the projects that you see in front of us, I guess we can open the floor to, since I guess this is an assumed motion from the Church Council, that we can open the floor for discussion on these projects, the merits of each, perhaps why we shouldn't do one or the other. But I just hope that we can do this in the spirit of being good stewards and doing what Christ would have us do with the gifts we've been given. So the floor is open for discussion on these products, projects. And if you would wait until Sarah brings you a microphone so we can all hear what you're saying.
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you. Just some clarification. You said in here that there are donations continuing to be received. The $56,000, those are collected funds?
Funds are collected.
Can you tell us, based on what was pledged, what has not been received yet that could possibly still come in?
I do not have information on pledges that were made and were not collected. Let me say that the fundraising campaign was intended to run through 2015, and so at the end of last year, supposedly the fundraising campaign came to an end. Church Council waited until the end of 2015 to come up with a list of projects to see what was in hand.
So I take it from that there's been some time since any monies came in for the building project.
Excuse me?
I take it from that then that it says monies are continued to be received. I take it there's been some time since any money was received for the project. Is that right?
We received some.
Okay. Still coming in. I was asked to ask this question in regards to one of the particular uses, the carpet in the narthex. Is it being replaced because it doesn't match, or is it being replaced because it's worn out? Both?
Someone know more about that than I do. Honestly, this is not something we discussed at any great length. That particular project was not something we discussed at any great length during the council meeting. I think that's a $7,100 expenditure for carpet. I had heard some people say that it just flat out didn't match what was in here and it looked peculiar. It hasn't caught my eye that way, but I think it has some people.
So it may be just more cosmetic than wear and tear?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Yes.
The last question is, this list implies that we have looked at all the particular capital improvement needs the church has, any wear and tear, anything that's broken. It's been addressed in what monies we've already spent or allocated. So we're really down to what's left over. We don't know of anything else that would need to be done. But my question is, do we have, and maybe Julie can answer this, do we have other unrestricted funds that are available to us, should we do this, to take care of those capital improvements, deferred maintenance, things like that? Do we have other monies on hand that could take care of that, should we spend 100% of this?
I'm getting a nod from a Finance Committee member, Frank Ireton, who was our treasurer. I'm getting a nod yes on that. I'm not sure what the amount is. Another project that is going to be coming up sometime, it would be our parking lot, is getting to be in bad condition. We recognize this, but the cost of doing that was going to be over $70,000, which was more than what we had on hand. Okay, thank you.
I don't think I need a microphone press that.
Oh, you might. My hearing's not what it used to be. My voice is, but
there,
my hearing.
There might be some anxiety, and I was presented with, my name came out of the opportunity bin one day when I got a call from the church office. So the $70,000 for paving is an extravagant price. I got it. I'll take the javelins for that. It came from a road contractor. We talked about all the dips and potholes, and the prices to mill off, you've seen the big machines on the highway projects cutting the asphalt down. The prices to basically go from the canopy on the left-hand side if you're facing the church back to the kitchen door, mill off 2 inches of asphalt, fix all the depressions where we've cut pipes and added sidewalks and potholes, and then put 2 inches of new asphalt back on top. There's obviously ways we could spend less money, but I don't want you to leave here or ponder paving thinking that's the cost. I mean, petroleum's gone down a lot in the last several weeks. That probably won't be proportionally portrayed in any reduction in the price, but there are other things that could happen to paving if the congregation decides to do that. That's a very high-end number.
Okay. Further comments, Herb? Herb's taller than you.
Just had a comment about the bus situation. Is it correct to say we have two buses now, or we just got one? Because I know it works back and forth with the preschool, so I didn't know if we had a total of two buses we use, the church uses, or is it one?
What is that second bus used for?
We use it for youth events, Camp Holiday and Camp Gift. The Senate is able to use it. The Boy Scouts use it. Okay. And Leisure Timers, if you have enough to fill two buses, have used it before. So the congregation, as well as the community, gets to use it.
Okay, so since we got two buses, I just want to bring up the idea. Has anybody thought, if we go back to a van, that gives us one bus and one van. Has that been any discussion?
There has not been any discussion in church council on a van. Yes, Bill.
I tried to
remember that was a 15-passenger van, but for insurance purposes, they had to take the very, very back seat out. It is not friendly for people that have disabilities or people that have trouble walking and can't get in and out of the van very easily. And again, as someone who uses the bus a lot for events and activities, it's a wonderful part of our ministry, the activity that happens in the bus, the conversations, the fellowship, the comfort of being able to drive a long distance, as Sarah can attest to, is really wonderful. And that bus is starting to degrade pretty significantly. It's 11 years old, so it's got some value in it still, which is why someone recommended to us that now is the time to replace it rather than waiting until it's completely dilapidated. The other bus is dilapidated, but it gets us where we need to go. We don't take that one typically on very long trips, and my understanding from the conversation with Marty is that the cost to maintain that second bus is very minimal. So getting rid of it, it wouldn't have any value to get rid of it and the cost to maintain it. And it does help us out when we have larger crowds and we go places with larger numbers of people.
Let me put it this way. We do have two buses. The only reason I was saying, since we do have two buses, we can use one bus for whatever we need to, then also bring back the van, because just more of a safety factor. When the youth group and Boy Scouts go up to the mountains in the wintertime in the snow and ice, it's a lot easier to drive the van in the snow and ice. That was just a couple different ideas to help out the youth group and the Boy Scouts.
You know, the schools are now having to use buses, and I don't know whether a church still has to use buses or not, but that's the law now, that it's buses versus the 15-passenger vans when you're carrying people around. I do not know if that applies to churches, but that may be something you have to look into before you do the van. That's why daycare centers cannot use them any longer. We had one, and we would have had to get rid of it. So, you know, when you're carrying children and people around and those kind of things, the vans are no longer allowed to be used. I don't know about a church, but that's true with daycare centers. And if you notice, no daycare center has a van any longer for that very reason. It's against the law.
Yeah. Yeah. Pat's been patiently waiting.
This is not about bus. Do we want to finish talking about that one topic?
I tell you what, I was trying to bone up a little bit on Robert's Rules of Order, and I'm certainly not an expert on it, and I don't know the meeting needs to be that formal.
Okay.
But there's a possibility, you know, you've been presented with a package of projects here that was recommended by church council. And I've heard some people are interested in doing one thing and perhaps omitting something else. Do you think this might be better if we were to split this motion into separate votes?
Yes.
Would somebody make a motion to do that?
I move that we split these into separate motions.
Would someone like to second that?
I second.
All right.
We have discussion on that.
Of course.
The question I guess I would raise is, when we get to these individual items, are we going to just have a motion for each one with seconds and
discussions? On each item?
There can be a discussion on each item. I don't think there necessarily needs to be a motion on each one.
Well, if I may, just
if we decide to do it that way.
Okay. Well, since we may not, let me go ahead and ask this about the preschool. I have no problems with our consideration to support the preschool, but in the letter that we received, there were several things raised about the issue about their loss of computers.
That's correct.
The money's possible for scholarships, maybe some improvements to the playground that could benefit all the children. But I don't think we would restrict them in how they use the monies. Those were some ideas that make it palatable, I guess.
And I think that was church council's idea also.
But it would still be unrestricted. They could do what they want to.
A supervisory board that makes decisions like that. This congregation would make a gift to them is essentially what we were talking about.
And for further information, it also mentioned that their funding from Thrive at Match is no longer available. And this may be jumping ahead to next year's budget, but could the council answer whether or not there might be consideration from the budget to increase the amount of funding for the preschool next year because of the loss of matching funds for Thrive It. Was that discussed?
Next year's budget has not been discussed.
I understand. I figured I might be jumping ahead, but I just wanted to get that out. Thank you.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor to divide this question, and we'll take separate votes on each one if you like. I noticed that there's been no discussion on the replacement of the windows. I think everyone knows how cold it is in that section of the building, especially, well, in the wintertime. So we'll take a vote. Would you like to split this into separate votes? All in favor of doing that, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed and would rather vote on this as a package, please say no.
No.
Whoa. I did not expect that. Could we have a show of hands, please? Do we have someone who can help count hands? We can divide up into three sections. All in favor of voting on, excuse me?
Trustworthy.
You look trustworthy. All in favor of splitting the vote, this is a majority vote. Splitting the vote, I'll take this section over here. All in favor of splitting the vote, raise your hand and keep your hand raised till we can count. Prefer to vote on this as a package as presented by church council, please raise your hand and keep your hand raised so we can count. Okay, we have the results and it's close, but the vote was 51-48. We will vote on this as a package. Simple majority. With that in mind, is there... yes, Pat?
I remember in receiving the letter this past week, you mentioned the playground needs new rubber or whatever on it. Is that included for the preschool to pay for or for the congregation?
I believe the preschool has been taking care of that, and they've been just putting down wood chips after they wash away.
They didn't last time. I think the congregation did. No, ma'am.
Okay, so we're going to have a simple... It appears an up or down vote if there's no more discussion. Since the matter of dividing the vote has been settled.
The $7,000 for the Northex carpet,
sir.
Is that a broad brush estimate or firm? Seems excessive to me for that little area and spend $7,000.
I sound like the worst council president ever, but I don't know exactly where that number. Okay.
Lyle, it's an estimate, and it runs from the new doors all the way back down beyond the music room, and it is to cover up the transitions of the different concrete So it's not just out here. It's a bigger area down the hall, but it was an estimate. And I have a question, if I might, while I have this.
Feel the power, pal.
Is there an opportunity? I mean, there are lots of windows around here in places that are fogged because the seals are broken. Is that something to bring up? I hate to muddy the murky waters, but...
I think these particular windows in the oldest part of the building were chosen because they lose so much energy goes through them, one way in the winter, the other way in the summer. And I think anyone who sat through Dr. Everett's class a few weeks ago knows that that part of the building can be very cold. It's a distinct difference between
the That doesn't include the $17,000, doesn't include any of the, like the ones out in the front that are foggy.
No, sir, I don't think so.
Is there an opportunity to add those? Are we only talking about these four things?
Well, we're down to voting on this as a package right now. Comment, question?
We continue on Mike's point. As we vote for the package then, we talked about carpet being aesthetics. The windows are also aesthetics and functional. And I also note, I believe there's still some leaks in the roof. Is that covered under warranty, or do we need to be making sure we've got that? There's some wet, stained tiles at least.
There may be some stained tiles from leaks. I think we've taken care of all of the leaks we're aware of in the building right now.
Okay, so maybe we should at least consider replacing those tiles. But when looking at the whole package, $7,100 for carpet, which is aesthetics, we may also want to consider, if we don't pass that motion, that we could add to a different motion to vote on to include the windows that are also aesthetic as well as functional in the narthex.
That's something that we don't have a cost estimate on.
But we've assessed the priorities, mm-hmm. and I didn't hear that had been assessed, right, as a priority. Or we just haven't looked at those windows yet? Okay. So we've not looked at all structural
stuff? No, we have not looked at all windows. I think an energy audit was performed by SCE&G some years ago, and they pointed out to us that the windows in the very oldest part of the building was really wasting a lot of heating and cooling dollars.
Yeah, I don't think that's for debate. I was just concerned about these that are our front entrance, and once that gas is gone, the argon or whatever, you lose the R values, and so we're losing energy there too. We also have weather strip around a lot of the doors that we're losing energy out of. So I just wonder if we fully assess the entire laundry list of physical plant needs as we're entering this vote to spend all this money.
I had only heard about the windows that SCE&G pointed out to us a few years ago.
Bullets, there's four bullets, and then it says the remaining money toward the bus. So are we voting on all five things as a package? The replacement of windows,
yes,
church sign, the narthex carpeting, 10% tithe, and the remaining toward the bus.
That is what church council recommended. I think there would be about $22,000 left over to put toward the purchase of a bus, and included in that would be whatever we can sell legal. Old one for, which is about 10 years old.
And just one other thought, I'm just thinking that council, I think, put a lot of thought into this to come up with this list.
And
I know there's always things to be done. So I don't know. This is why we're here, I guess, to see if this list is the group we want to vote on.
This is the package that church council recommended. Any more discussion, or would somebody like to make a well, we have one more. Hi, Michelle.
Hey. The bus situation, the reason you don't use a 15-passenger van is Jacob's Law. It went into effect July 1st, 2006. Any daycare has to have a school bus. A church without a daycare can use a van. A church with a daycare has to use a school bus, and
a school, public or private, has to use a school bus. So I think the church would fall under having the preschool and have to have a school bus. So I just want to let you know that.
Okay,
it was Jacob's
Law
is the reason we don't use those dangerous rollover vans anymore.
All right.
Oh, question.
Kathy has called the question. We have a second. This calls for a suspension of the discussion and a vote on the package that was presented by church council. All in favor of accepting the package as church council presented, I'm afraid because I did. Let's see how this goes. Please say in favor of accepting the package as proposed by church council, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, please say no.
No.
I'm so happy we had a good discussion today, but I believe the ayes have it. Thank you. I appreciate everyone's input and the spirit with which it was discussed. Thank you very much. We're getting ready to go, but Pastor would like to...
I got one. Before you leave, we'd like to bless the meal. Let us pray. God of grace, you have fed us many times today, first with your word, then with bread and wine, your body and blood. As we gather over more food now, bless us with your presence. Strengthen us in our warmth and faith and love for one another. In all things, remind us that we are yours now and forever. Amen. Thank you.